All right. Now, here we are.
We need, Glenn, point of order.
Yes, sir.
We need to prove the minutes as amended. We just amended the minutes. We should approve the minutes as amended.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, good. Approved. Now we are at one of the real purposes for being here tonight. And in the order of preference, as you very well see, I need to know your preference. You've got one E here, and one G has the same weight. So do you want to leave it in that order? Because I think we can dispense of the election of officers quicker than we can the P and B. Okay, hearing no objections.
So all right. Yes. Whatever.
Yes, ma'am.
I make a motion that that we elect Colleen O'Brien as treasurer.
Chair accepts the nomination for treasurer. And would you repeat the nominee's name?
Colleen
Secretary,
O'Brien.
I heard.
Okay.
I heard as treasurer for secretary. Was that correct?
Treasurer.
The secretary position is not open.
He's the secretary.
Okay. Not
secretary. The treasurer position is open. I'm accepting nominations.
I second.
O'Brien nominated.
Second.
And accepted. Ms. O'Brien, do you accept?
I do.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to nominate Bill Crozier.
Crozier?
I'll second that.
Next.
I'd like to nominate Joseph Davis for treasurer.
Mr. Davis, do you accept?
I'm going to go ahead and just maintain my place as secretary.
Mr. So Davis does not accept.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Davis could serve both positions.
I don't think we want to give Mr. Davis a heart attack. He's a young man, but heart attack.
I just wanted to make sure he understood that.
Thank you. And I think many didn't know that, Robert, so you're quite in order to point that out. Yes, sir.
Would you like someone to time this? It's supposed to have 20 minutes.
We will, yes. When we get past these nominations, you going to be the timer? Timekeeper? Okay. We get past these nominations. I've got one more minute for nominations. So far, we've got Ms. O'Brien. We have Mr. Bill Crozier.
Did he accept?
Mr. Crozier, did you accept?
Your nomination?
Crozier.
Okay. All right, I've got 30 more seconds.
Like
nomination.
Jim Boyd.
Mr. Boyd. Mr. Boyd declines. I've got 30 seconds. 15 seconds.
No,
nomination's closed. Now, will you prepare to vote? I believe I proposed an agenda for you. It's pretty consistent. We're going to allow 2-minute opening statements from the candidates, 1-minute questions, diatribes, comments, whatever you're going to do, and then a 2-minute response from the candidate. Then we'll flip it. The last round will be 1 30-second question. One-minute response. So remember, the rules are the same. If you don't have any questions, if we can expedite, we can get to the next thing. The PNB, you know, is the big wig thing. So let's kind of know where we are and let's move it on along. So I want to put the timekeeper on notice. And I'm still from the old school. So.
You want 20 minutes for this whole thing?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully we can get past that if 5 people don't ask questions. So, ladies, always first in my book. Ms. O'Brien, 2 minutes for your opening statement. And Mr. Crozier, stand by. 2 minutes for your opening statement.
I believe this position is important for a person
who has integrity, intelligence, and character. I think I can bring that to the table. I realize that the other candidate is also very well qualified and has wide experience, but I believe it's a position, again, that needs someone in a trusted, fair, and logical type of personality. And I think I've proven in many different ways that I'm consistent and I'm stable, and I have the intelligence to represent us as a treasurer.
We're on to a good start. That was less than 45 seconds, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Crowley, let's see if you can top that. No, I'm just kidding. You got 2 minutes, sir.
Well, I didn't prepare a statement, and, you know, I basically agree with what Colleen was saying. And I think we're at a real juncture, a real crossroads, as I mentioned sometimes in the last few months, the Pacifica finances. The major responsibility for the treasurer is being on the National Finance Committee. And that's where most of the time is taken up. And it's so critical because not just in reviewing budgets for the other stations, but in trying to look at the watchdog on what the spending is, especially at the other stations. And that's why we've been running deficits for the last 6 or 7 or 8 years, and we're at the point where we can't keep doing that. Locally, if you choose, you know, the treasurer doesn't have to run, doesn't have to be chair of the local finance committee. You can choose to let somebody else go to. But I would like to chair if you want to do that, and I would like to make sure everybody's included.
Well, now we transfer ourselves in this manner. Okay, we're getting to you. We're now up to the question. Uh-huh. And so let's invert ourselves. And remember Castellanos.
With regard to the candidates?
Mm-hmm. You got a question.
It's
treasurer.
This goes to both candidates, and that is, what experience, if any, do you have with regard to bookkeeping, keeping of ledgers, any kind of responsibility that is at the core of the treasurer's responsibilities?
Two-minute response. And that's inverted. Bill, you go first. You need a repeat of the question?
No, I can get it. And that's a good question. In terms of educational experience, I took 2 semesters of accounting in college a long time ago. I think I got it a little bit. I've always been good at math. Most of it's self-study. I understand the importance of audits and understanding a financial statement and the financial statements, I guess I should say. It's one of the things I've been really concerned about is the lack of financial statements, because you can't really judge adequately what's going on if you don't have cash flow statements, if you don't have statement of, you know, operations that looks at your revenue and your expenses and balance sheets, you know, what your debts are and how they compare with your assets. And that's, we really need people who spend the time doing that. One of the major qualifications is time also. I'm self-employed, I do some work some, but I do have a lot of time to, you know, designate, and I think, and I wouldn't have accepted this if I wasn't willing to do it, because it's really critical. And I know during budget season on the National Finance Committee, which runs from around August through, should be running through August and September, because all the budgets should be approved by then. We meet, I say we because I was on the National Finance Committee also for 3 years previously, not as treasurer, but as the PNP representative from KPFD. So we're familiar with that, very familiar with spreadsheets, and do spreadsheets a lot all the time, with regular work and engineer. And I think that's important.
Well, I worked with Jim Borey on the finance committee, so we did review a lot of finance reports and spreadsheets. Also, as a practicing journalist, I had to do a lot of investigation on budget issues with politicians, and also write an in-depth article that I shared with a colleague here on this board who wanted a recommendation for a forensic bookkeeper. Obviously I don't have accounting. I'm not an accounting professional, but I'm very careful on budgets, both personally and professionally.
That's Kay?
Oh, okay.
Can since the whole matter of the seriousness of this position is brought to light, it's been asserted and understood to be relevant, can you assure us that, A, your personal life has no issues having to do with character, disputes, litigation, or anything like that matter that would reflect some problems with whether or not you're, at this point, able to take this charge on?
Okay. Well, I've served on the board here for a few years, and I've been on various committees, so I think members of this body have seen me in action and can judge my character according to how I've interacted also as a radio journalist. So I hope that suffices.
Yep.
Point of information.
Yep. Point of information.
I want to know if if anybody needs to disclose to his body, is have any litigations with the foundation, or if he signed any complaint with the Attorney General in California. I want to know if that will be a disqualification for this, for running for treasurer.
I guess that's, go ahead.
It is not a disqualification.
Okay.
We have.
But there are no requirements at all.
You can be a treasurer and swing or combining with the foundation. Okay.
Any other comments on that?
Are we going in order?
Can we
should be.
<to those>?
Okay.
Did you answer that?
Two of you want to take a stab at that?
Well,
that'll be her question.
Okay, no, there's nothing in my personal life that would conflict with anything having to do with
litigation.
No. Should I address some bigger hands? Well, I don't mind saying that I've never sued Pacifica, not party to any lawsuit. But I don't mind saying, I'm proud of saying, I was one of the eight past board members who filed a complaint with the Attorney General of California. Because I think it's been so serious. It's so serious, the failure of primarily KPFA and K, frankly, all the other stations, to get their books in order so that the audit can take place. Just as an example, we could lose our nonprofit status. We've already lost CPB funding, which is $1 million a year for Pacifica as a whole. And I don't know what we're going to get back. And I think we need the Attorney General to step in and rescue us. And I hope to get to the bottom of whatever it is, and if there's any malfeasance or, money laundering or criminal activity, or if it's just incompetence, I want the Attorney General to find out and do something about it.
Colleen?
Well, I'm not involved in any litigation with California or Pacifica. I am aware of what Bill's talking about in terms of aware that Pacifica is facing some serious charges, and I'm very interested as well in the California Attorney General getting to the bottom of it and helping Pacifica rewrite itself as a ship for the future. I totally support us being able to get our ship in order.
Next question.
I pass.
Was Ritter passes?
Nancy.
Nancy.
Susan. Jim.
No.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
right. We're moving right along.
Question.
Robert?
Can I pass?
Yes, absolutely. And down at the end, Mr. Thursday.
No question.
All right. Alon, Alon?
It's been covered somewhat. I had intended to ask. Basically, describe your familiarity with the potential audits and how they would affect us locally as a station and Pacifica as a whole.
Okay, Bill.
You go first. Yeah.
Is it her turn?
I believe it.
Go ahead, go right here.
audits, I'm totally in favor. In fact, I really appreciate that Bill sent out all the different files recently, and I went up again to the Pacifica bylaws to review basically what the Pacifica board was facing in terms of their fiscal responsibilities. And one of the things I did notice is that the Pacifica PMB is supposed to have an independent auditor yearly to look at the books. And, I think that's awesome, but I don't know if we've been doing that on the national level. And obviously, we have a very close association with the general manager and his report to the board every month on his fiscal sovereignty, and we go with what he says. And so there's a close relationship at the local level. So I don't know how often KPFT has been independently audited, but I know if we have the resources, we can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this question is brought up, the treasurer's not on the audit committee. Nobody on the National Finance Committee is allowed to be on the audit committee. It's separate, but...
Would you speak more clearly and a bit more slowly?
Okay, the treasurer and none of the other people on the National Finance Committee are allowed to be on the audit committee. You cannot be on both. But I do think the treasurer should be familiar with that. And I've read all the audits. We've had an audit, as far as I know, every year since Pacifica was founded up until through 2012, and fiscal year 2012, which ended in September that year. And there was no 2013 audit. I think that's the primary reason why the Attorney General has been really interested, because that's a real major failure. And there's no 2014 audit. The 2013 audit should have been finished about a year ago. The 2014 audit should have been finished around now, or maybe in a month or so from now. And the 2013 audit essentially has not begun because of the lack of being able to get financial records from the other stations. Now, the auditors, I know they don't go and camp out at KPFT. The way the audits work, how much time do they have?
49 seconds.
Okay, well, they take samples. They take random samples of documents. They say, produce this document for me and make sure that you've got receipts and you've got documentation for both revenue and expenses. And if they all look okay, they kind of assume it's all right. As long as you're producing all the records you're supposed to, they do ask for a lot of records. And the other station weren't even producing the records, and that's why that didn't happen. But I guess we're running out of time. If that answers the question.
Very good. Next.
Yes, my question. If I vote for you coming, or if I vote for you, where will I be in the year? What we have accomplished?
We'll
be next time, or next year this time.
Where we be now?
If I vote for you, or if I vote for you, what will we have accomplished within that 365
days?
Me first? Okay. Well, we're still going to be in existence. That's the first order of business. And the person elected to this position, if it's Bill or me, I'm sure I'll speak for myself, due diligence to make sure that we don't have to worry about the California Attorney General looking over our shoulders as far as our fiscal records are concerned.
I'm not sure we're going to be in existence a year from now, whether we're elected or not. I think if the Attorney General had not stepped in, we would not be in existence a year from now. I'm hoping they will do what it takes to get them straightened out, because I'm not even sure what our debt is, because not having the financial reports and the audit. But the last, I think we're around, at least a year ago, we had about $3 million in debt, and essentially almost no liquid assets. About two-thirds of the debt was to Democracy Now. Two-thirds of the debt.
Closer.
This is national debt now, not KPFT. KPFT's paid all its contributions to the central services, church services, and KPFT is really not the problem, although we still need more fundraising so we can get a transmitter. But we haven't been running a deficit. And in fact, KPFT has even been asked to cover payroll or insurance payments for some of the other stations, some of the bigger stations. And I think we've all been paid for that, but that, that's an example of the kind of problem we have. But the we've got to get our finances. We've got to know what the finances are. And I hope the attorney general will get to the bottom of that. And we've got to get the spending under control. And we've got to get the revenue up. All that. So that's why I can't guarantee that no matter what we do, that we'll be around a year from now. But I sure hope so. It's very important.
Thank you.
Very good. Next up.
Sure. I'd like to quick statement, real quick. Question or something. I'd like to say both y'all are great candidates. You've always stood up here and said everything we need to do is about money, raise money. So I totally understand where you're coming from. I also appreciate you initiating or being part of the Attorney General getting involved, because we've tried to do this as a separate for a while and figuring out what the problem is. And it hasn't, the spending hasn't been handled where the money is, where the money's going. So sometimes having a third party come in and look at it is not necessarily a detriment.
Okay. John?
Pass.
Okay. You have a question for your opponent?
Bill Collins.
Not really.
Okay. Jim?
Decline.
Oh, okay. Madam Chair, you got a question?
Yes. How do you envision you're working with the business manager or the general manager, and do you agree or disagree with the way that we were approving during at least the last 4 years our budget?
Can you go first?
You're talking about KPFT or Lisa Pickens?
KPFT, Regulatory
Treasury. I know we need, I think I want to invite all of the LSP and all of anybody else, or any members to participate in that in the local finance committee meetings if they want to. I realize you have to be a member of the LSP meeting to vote, which means I'll keep you vote, but that's okay. But I think the Treasury, one of the responsibilities is to try to make sure we get information from the from Markeisha, from the business manager, and from Dwayne, the general manager, and get questions answered, and come up with questions too, depending on what we see. And I mean, one of the things that concerns me, for example, is that we've been operating at reduced power for about 2 years now, and we don't seem to really have a plan for getting a new transmitter. Now, it is in the budget for this year, but we can't spend the money if we don't bring it in. That's one of the good things we do. We don't spend the money and then figure out how to get it. But I think we need a new transmitter. It's one of that's probably the biggest need we have. I think it will help increase listenership, and I think because of that, it'll even help with donations and members. I'm not sure specifically where you're getting that, but I'm open to suggestions from anybody, whether they're on the LSP or not, regarding questions about finances and complete pledge of transparency and tell everybody to be informed about what the process is. And I'll be glad to tell everybody if you knew about what the budgeting process is, which actually starts in about 2 months for the next school year.
But did you agree or disagree with the way that we did it in the last 4 years?
Do I disagree?
Agree or disagree?
Well, I wasn't involved until about 7 or 8 years ago.
Four years.
He hasn't been on the board, so it's difficult for him.
I think the process overall has been pretty good. I've heard from some people who felt that their questions weren't answered.
Time?
I think we need to do a better job about that, getting questions answered.
Ms. O'Brien?
Whether we're talking about the Lakeisha or general manager. And it's also based on some of the information, again, that Bill sent out, so I started looking at it very carefully, about the responsibility of boards connected to finance. And it's very important for people like the general manager and the bookkeeper to be, for instance, if I'm the general manager, it's really important for me to look carefully at the records my bookkeeper is giving me. It's also very important for me to open up checks and make sure they're accurate. That's just the general way of the world.
bill that you sent out about people in the general manager's position. So that's very important. And I can't say, well, gee, I didn't know because I trusted my secretary or I trusted my treasurer or whoever. So that's how I feel. I think, and I don't think anybody in the general manager's position could block us on asking for that kind of cooperation with bookkeeping.
Member Patel.
Okay, I do have a question. So if I understand correctly, you are in favor of having the AG involved and you're not. So I just wanted to ask why you feel that way and how you came to that conclusion.
I believe it's Bill's first time to answer first.
Okay. I'm definitely in favor of the AG investigating. I was one of the people that asked for it.
I did not hear the last sentence.
I'm definitely in favor of the California Attorney General investigating Pacifica, and I was one of the people who asked for an investigation.
But can you answer why you are in favor of that?
Why I'm in favor of that? Because I think we may not survive another year if we don't get the financial reports produced that we need, that should be produced and should have been produced, and we could lose our nonprofit status, as I mentioned. We don't even know, the National Board doesn't even know where we are financially because it's, the financial reports have been so incomplete. And we do get stuff monthly from Duane. Now, it's a summary of stuff that's on the budget. It's not detailed. And I'm a detail-oriented person. I like the details. And I'm hoping the Attorney General will look into all those details. And then I know the National Office is going to be able to produce all the stuff they ask for because it doesn't exist. And the Attorney General needs to do something about that.
Ms. O'Brien?
Okay, no, I'm not opposed to the California Attorney General examining the records of Pacifica, so I'll make that clear. I'm hoping for a rewriting of the ship of Pacifica based on the outcome of the AG's report.
Mr. Chair, you're out of time for this section.
Motion to extend. Yes, ma'am. Second?
Second.
For how long?
7 minutes.
10 minutes.
Seven.
7 minutes.
I call the question.
Mr. Kropka.
I call the question.
No, Mr. Kropka, you're objecting to the motion. Is that what you're doing?
We're talking about the motion.
We have a motion before us to extend for 7 minutes.
And I'm calling the question. Voting.
Well, what we'll do is dispense.
I object to.
Okay, very good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's deal with this objection. Those of you who want to close the discussion.
Point of order?
Yes, sir.
This discussion is not open. You just go to a vote. A motion to extend time does not have any discussion associated with it. There's no need to close debate because there is no debate. We just vote on it. It requires 2/3.
Oh. Is there any objections to that interpretation?
No.
So then you're prepared to vote, and it requires a 2/3 threshold. How many do we have current members in the chairs? 19.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just for the record, we never approved your little agenda outline for this meeting, and therefore it only requires a simple majority.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
No, we approved the agenda, the big agenda, but he sent out a separate agenda spelling out the time for debate for each item. We never approved it. It was never before us. It was never printed out.
But you did give me consent when I laid it out. That was no objection.
Just to see if there's any objection.
Okay.
Point of order.
Yes, sir.
There is on the agenda that we did approve a time limit for this election. That time has expired. Mm. We have to move to extend it, or we simply take a vote.
I agree. Okay, proceed. Now, we are taking a vote.
Okay, because I change it. Make it shorter. 5 minutes.
Objection. Let's move on.
We are going to vote on the objection.
Only for the people who passed.
2/3 required, 19 members. That's, somebody do the math.
13.
13? 13.
13.
Let's go.
That's what I saw. Those of you, yes,
friendly ma'am. Amendment, that is our move that we revert back to the original motion, which is to extend by 10 minutes. This is too important, Madam.
Do you accept the amendment?
No, let's move on.
Let's dispense of this vote.
Mr. Chair, the motion on the floor was to extend for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's it. It doesn't make any difference what the motion, the maker of the motion says after that. That's the property of the board now. And that's what we're voting on, is to extend for 10 minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, those in favor of the motion?
I didn't say 10 minutes.
Those in favor of the motion, please raise your hands. The motion is to extend for 7 minutes.
7, sorry.
Okay? Now, those in favor, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Keep your hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It grew. All right, those opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Motion failed. All right. Now, moving back to where we were, which is to dispense of this matter. Someone help me what the matter is.
We're going to take the vote on. He's going to be the treasurer.
So I think we need an explanation of the ballot. So I'm going to allow Ms. Deborah Shafto to give you a little explanation.
The reason I passed out these ballots is because every time we have an election, there's a lot of confusion. Please mark your ballot with an X only, not a number, not a letter, but an X only, in the position noted at the top, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which you would like to see the candidate. In this case, it's only two. So either one or two. You do not have to vote for a second candidate, but please put an X under one name or another, and by the way, pass up the ballots.
Yes. Let's really mess them up with a right hand, y'all. Now, that wouldn't be eligible.
Point of order?
Yes, sir. Point of order. Sir?
Can I finish that discussion? I'm Bob Gardner. Just for your record, I've got supposedly 19 ballots in my hand, and I'll be passing those out or numbers. But you'll see, I won't have any left by the time.
Oh, hope not. Don't have a couple in your pocket.
Okay.
Go ahead, Joe.
In case of a tie for first place, when there's only two people running, why would you have to vote for second? The reason is because by our rules, if there is a tie for first place, it's decided by the second place votes.
So that would indicate that you need to vote a second person.
There you go. If we don't want the other person.
That's a sample ballot.
That's the problem with STD voting. No one. You wouldn't have to check.
Yeah, I guess I'm just talking.
Don't be safe when we vote for our authority, but we have nothing to do with it. But give me a second.
We have a correction tonight. I was handed two more ballots than 19.
Yeah, I don't have anything with that.
Okay.
Well, that's my example.
Oh, I don't want the sample. You don't have a ballot at all.
No.
Wait a minute.
Mark your ballots.
This is not my question.
Yes, ma'am. You have a question?
Mr. Chair, a question?
We will have her count the ballots when she takes them up. I need order in the room.
Question regarding procedure.
Just a moment, ma'am. I need order in the room. I want to allow members to take your time to mark your ballots, but let's expedite this. Ma'am, what is your question?
And that is, if so Someone just said that it's necessary to mark both first place and second place.
I didn't say that.
No. Okay.
Ma'am, we have a question.
That's what I want to clarify. Is it possible to mark only a vote?
Only your choice.
For one candidate?
Yes.
All right.
As number one and two.
You can do both or one.
Your choice.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Now, moving forward.
Good.
Ma'am?
I have a question. We were told there were only 19 ballots that
we're going to count them. We're going to have the election judge count them before she leaves the circle.
Judges?
So we'll know how many ballots in our hand, okay?
Can we have another volunteer?
Yeah.
Of course.
From the audience, please.
You're not voting.
I'm collecting. If you're not giving it to
give her the ballot.
What do you think I'm going to do?
You can go back there and observe if you want to. Just give the ballots up. And
thank you.
Ms. Shafto, would you count the ballots? When you pick the ballots up, would you count the ballots to us, please?
Put a big extra if you don't want to vote.
Mr. Chair, since this is a two-person election, I would recommend that the two parties involved go back with Deb.
Fine.
And they separate the votes, one for the other in the piles. They allow each candidate to count the ones with their number one.
The more the merrier.
Are all the ballots cast? Is anyone still filling out their ballot? Ms. Shafto, will you count the ballots at the table there, please?
Yes. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Very good. Now, candidates, as suggested, you have the right to go back, view the balloting, and in the meanwhile, let us do something constructive while we're waiting on the outcome. I know some of you would love to be lobbying for your PNB slots or whatever, but we've got other business we need to take care of here. And based on former Chairman Mark's suggestion, I'm going to take advantage of that. I'm going to ask that Mr. Joseph Davis accept the Governance Committee's convening position. Would you accept that to convene the first meeting and then y'all elect your chair?
Okay.
Is that all right with you?
Yes.
You'll be responsible for setting the first meeting, preferably 1st of February. Hopefully I will be there, but I'm not meeting. Everybody's meeting now. I'm going to tell y'all straight up. I am going to support you, and I'd like to see a lot more activity with these chairmanships this year than in the previous year. I'm going to ask that I have a volunteer for what is articulated on page 4 of my local station board standing and special rules of page 4 of 6, according to the Pacifica Foundation KPFT 90.1 Article 3 committees. And that is a program council committee. I'm combining the program council committee with the program policy committee. And I'd like for someone to volunteer to convene that meeting.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Like I said before, the bylaw said that when we vote for officers of the NFP, the method that we use is instant runoff voting.
Say that again.
It's not STV. It's being called instant runoff voting. It's not
IRV.
STV.
So delineate between an STV vote and an IRV vote. I'll get to you. Okay, go right ahead. She defers to you.
An instant runoff election is simply the person that gets the most votes wins.
Exactly.
Like any election normally
Simple.
Takes.
It's not one
an STV election is this consolidated, we have rounds of counting.
Transferable.
And you determine a threshold number of votes to get to be automatically elected. And if a person gets more than the threshold, then for those ballots that he gets a number of the ballots, a fraction of the remaining first place votes are applied to the second place person. And then you go down, and after the first round, you eliminate the person with the least votes, and then you go down and you count again. doing the same sort of thing. You might be adding in fractions of the second ballot count until you get enough candidates that you're electing to have the threshold number of votes to be elected.
Yeah, I know that.
So that means it's a simple method, is what you're saying. So in the future, we will use instant runoff voting. However, that doesn't apply to the P and B ballots. Is that correct? Now, we have a decision. It is a split decision. Really split. 10-9. Can you move any closer than that? Mr. Bill Crozier is your treasurer.
Wow.
All right. Now, I'd like to take an executive privilege and a begging that Ms. O'Brien, you were just one vote short of this arduous responsibility, but I want to put an equal responsibility on you by asking you if you would accept the finance and budget chair, which would work very closely, directly, tandem with the treasurer.
Convener.
I'm talking convener. If I say chair again, I'm convener. But you know, what my experience has been, those who convene generally chair. So would you accept to convene the Budget and Finance Committee?
But mine, is that the same as what Jim Boyd did, chair of the Finance Committee?
Yeah, and then we'll have an election. Who is
because it's really up to Bill, isn't it?
No. This is a committee that works with the treasurer. We just didn't implement this under previous chairs. What we're trying to do here is balance responsibilities and have checks and balances so that we can have more eyes on things.
Yes, because I'm confused. My understanding last year was Jim.
We can't operate like last year. I went to the rules, and the rules say that we should have 12 articulated committees. We haven't used these committees before. The Budget and Finance was Finance Committee, Jim as treasurer, chair, because no one else would step up. But there's nothing precluding the two individuals being separate, two different individuals.
So we didn't have it last year, is that what?
Yes, he operated, he took on the responsibility.
Oh, you went separate.
The chairmen of the committees are elected by the committees.
Right.
You're talking about designating a convener, which in the past, Jim as treasurer had also been designated.
Like I said, generally when you convene, you become the chair.
You should be convener even though Bill Furter is elected treasurer.
Who, will you convene the meeting?
Scheduling of the first meeting.
Will you convene the meeting?
And you might be elected chair.
Exactly. Well, the likelihood you are. I don't want to lay it on you, but since you were willing to accept the treasurer, it mirrors the responsibility.
I'm just saying that Bill just told me he's also going to be chair of the finance committee.
No.
So
he didn't have the right to do that. We vote.
He's probably going to be chair of the national finance committee. He misspoke. He's going to be chair of the National Finance Committee, okay? Please accept.
I want them to work together. Since Bill has already told me he's wanting to accept that dual responsibility, I'm going to let it go.
Okay.
The question would be, does anybody want to convene?
Mr. Chair, we have 40 minutes left in this meeting. We absolutely must get to the election of the PNB.
We do. Yes. Well, we're there now. We were only doing this to wait on the ballots for the PNB. The chair would like to point out, I don't want to open up a can of worms, but there's a December 31st deadline to be nominated, self-nominated or nominated for a PNB rep position. Now, I'm going to ask you on an honor system, because I know, looking at the email trail, which is the only means by which we've nominated, everybody wasn't nominated before December 31st. So we're going to use an honor system here, because I don't want any more arguments. I don't want to hold anybody out, but I think it does speak to character if you want to represent the PNB and all the fiduciary problems we got up there with character and other stuff. We don't So if you know you were not nominated before December 31st, act accordingly.
Who are you nominated, Secretary?
Huh?
Secretary knows who the nominated are.
No, you know. Whoever. I'm saying honor system is in place here. The person knows whether they nominated themselves in January or whether they were nominated in January. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, it's a violation of the bylaws. I don't think it's sufficient to allow individuals to decide for themselves whether this body was going to violate the bylaws. By our accepting them, we are violating the bylaws. And so I don't know who the two were, but I move that those two be disqualified from the PMV election.
Yes, sir.
Point of order.
That was a motion.
That was a motion. Wait, yeah.
I second. Well, now it's a motion. The motion moved. Second.
I second.
I think y'all abused point of order, frankly. And so we have a motion on the floor. The motion was articulated. The motion has been seconded. Let's deal with the motion. Now, I think this point of information business and this point of order business is being abused.
Can we exit the main meeting to a special delegates meeting and take vote for the special delegates meeting, which we didn't do in the past?
Is that your wish?
Well, we do.
Because we haven't dispensed of this matter about who's qualified to run for PMB.
We can decide that as an LSB, but we do need to take the vote in a delegates meeting. So
we need to go to the delegates meeting. You didn't miss the
point of information. It's item number four, so it's not an argument.
If you want to hold people absent or present twice in one night again, you need to go into a separate meeting because it says right here.
No one's arguing that, Mr. Crawford. You're arguing a point that's about to happen. We are going into a special delegates meeting. No, they're not. They're arguing about eligibility. Eligibility has nothing to do with going into another meeting. It has to do with who is eligible to be a candidate for the PMV. Well, do I have a motion? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Yes,
Mr. Yes, Bailey.
I move that we adjourn the meeting and move to the.
Any objections? Hearing no objections, meeting adjourned. Now, would you like to elect a special